Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or simply hoping to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall.
This week, we are going to focus on the idea, we're going to focus on the idea of what even gave us our name for this podcast, the Mental Breakdown.
It's true.
Sort of indirectly.
And we're going in a little bit different direction this week.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we named our podcast The Mental Breakdown because we wanted to take mental health issues and mental health concerns and concepts and break them down so that they're easier to understand and so that people can use them in their everyday life. But we're going to talk about mental breakdowns today and maybe the more traditional way in which that phrase has been used. And we're going to talk about what happens when a person has a mental breakdown or a nervous breakdown. We can call it different things.
Yeah, traditionally it's been called a nervous breakdown. And the first thing, of course, that everybody says is, this doesn't exist in psychiatry or in mental health.
Right.
The whole concept of nervous breakdown, though used in common parlance.
Pretty common.
You know, people say, you know, I'm happy. But we do the same thing with, I think she has OCD. We throw these terms around in an unscientific way, which is perfectly okay.
We use the same thing. You know, it's interesting that you thought that as a first example. My first example that I thought of was insanity. That person's insane.
Right.
That's not a mental health medical term either. That's a legal term.
Right.
So we use we use these different terms sometimes to, you know, sort of refer to true mental health issues or true mental health conditions, or but we do them in inappropriate ways or incorrect ways.
Right. And despite the fact that it doesn't exist in a manual or it doesn't exist in a diagnostic code book, doesn't mean that it's not real.
Right.
And anybody who has suffered anything that they might call a nervous breakdown certainly thinks it's real.
Right. Okay?
So I think it's I think for that reason, it's a topic worth discussing.
Right.
But also, and we're going to talk about this throughout the week, is that many of the emotional many of the emotional upheavals, I don't know how to phrase that, the emotional turmoil that people experience are not true psychiatric disorders.
Right.
They're garden variety stress of life events that don't really qualify as a psychiatric disorder, but they're far beyond normal because they imply that there has been some sort of breakdown, which means I'm not functioning normally anymore. Either I can't function or I'm not functioning normally. But as many people know, you can experience some emotional turmoil, but it doesn't mean you have a psychiatric diagnosis.
Right.
The problem is, if you go to a professional and you have insurance, we're obligated, I use the word obligated, we're obligated to make a psychiatric diagnosis. And it has to be a formal, we can't put anywhere in the code, this person's having a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Because you don't get reimbursed for it.
Right.
And it puts the patient in a terrible dilemma because they either have to say, don't worry about a diagnosis and I'll pay out of pocket, which most people can't do. Or they have to say, okay, put a diagnostic code in there so that my insurance company pays for it.
Right.
So there's a bit of a conundrum here that we've created in our, at least in our mental health care field. Nevertheless, though it's not a psychiatric diagnosis, a breakdown of this type can be a real setback, trauma, a real emotional event for a person experiencing it.
Yeah, I think that what you were just talking about is like huge. That's a huge topic, and I think we need to consider, you know, maybe a couple of future podcasts to just focus on that because, you know, it is a. We've been talking off camera before, you know, in the early morning hours over the last couple of weeks or so, mm-hmm. we've been talking a lot about normal, you and I.
Right.
You know, what is normal? Oh. And the truth that, you know, 80% of us are normal.
You know, we say that about...
At least.
We say that about teenagers. You know, teenagers are crazy. The mm-hmm. adolescent brain is abnormal. 80% of teenagers do absolutely fine.
Right.
You know, most of us, we stubbed our toes and right. scraped our knees. Sure. But most of us, at least probably 80%, make it through adolescence. Mm-hmm. And it's an tumultuous turmoil, yes. But we make it through adolescence without any
right,
serious problems.
Right.
You know, 20% struggle, but 80%
right.
make it through.
Right.
And what you're suggesting is, for 80%, in most cases, you don't have a mental illness.
Right.
Okay.
Well, what I think of as the statistics, right? If 80%, we know that typically, based upon if we just looked at the normal curve.
True.
80% of us are within the normal range, right. at least. Normal mm-hmm. to above average.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves 20% that are going to have some problems.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. So if we use that statistically, but then we look at the estimates from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual right. that estimates that about 50% of people are going to meet criteria for a mental illness at right. some point in their life,
mm-hmm.
those numbers don't jive.
Right.
I mean, so what that means is we're diagnosing about 30% of people with something that they may not really
that they may not have.
Exactly. And that's where we think that, you know, these mental breakdowns or these nervous breakdowns mm-hmm. where they come into play, because if a person is experiencing a tremendous amount of stress,
mm-hmm.
And again, this is a huge topic because again, we've been talking about it so much over mm-hmm. the last couple of days. You know, if a person is really struggling at work, they're very stressed at work
right.
because there are these time demands and these expectations that keep pushing and pushing and pushing to the point where the person breaks
mm-hmm.
and they can't go to work. They're just overwhelmed.
Right.
They can't function. They're just sitting quietly staring mm-hmm. out the window,
right.
you know, in that watching the rain fall
mm-hmm.
in that classic scene from movies and stuff that we've seen.
Right.
And then they go see a doctor, they're going to be diagnosed with something. But just because they're experiencing that at that
right.
moment doesn't mean that it's a mental illness. It just means
right.
that they're experiencing some distress and discomfort at that moment.
That's right.
And we have to give them some time.
And I'm not sure that I'm right about this, but even if you sit in an office the way we do, whether
mm-hmm.
you're a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a therapist, it doesn't matter. There's an 80% chance that the next person who comes into your office
mm-hmm.
doesn't have a psychiatric diagnosis.
Right.
Even though they're coming in because
mm-hmm.
they're struggling.
Right.
Chances are
yeah.
it's not a psychiatric diagnosis.
Right.
And so the obligation becomes, I think, on us professionally, is to say, wait a minute, there's a better than even chance that there's nothing psychiatrically wrong
mm-hmm.
with you. You don't have a
right.
true mental illness.
Right.
It's probably, more likely, it's life events.
Right.
And that's why I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about something like a nervous breakdown,
mm-hmm.
which is not a formal diagnosis,
right.
but it's something that many people struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And they shouldn't be struggling alone.
Right.
They should be able to come to professionals
right.
and get some kind of treatment
right.
without having to get into billing issues and
yeah.
and diagnoses that maybe
yeah.
they shouldn't have. You know, when you think about making a diagnosis on a young child
yeah.
that could change over time, and yet it's in your record, and that record is in somebody's computer file that's accessible to anybody who gets permission, either with a subpoena or a signature,
right.
to access your records.
Yeah.
You know, and is it really a psychiatric diagnosis, or
Absolutely.
Did it change over time?
Absolutely. So throughout the course of this week, we're going to talk about mental breakdowns or nervous breakdowns, and we're going to talk about how we come back from them. You know, there's going to be a little bit of variety or a little
mm-hmm.
bit of variation, variability in what we talk about from that perspective, because we are going to talk about not just mental breakdowns or just these sort of situationally based factors that contribute to, you know,
mm-hmm.
why you had to be out of work for a couple of days because you were just overwhelmed and couldn't function, right. Versus, you know, what happens if you have a manic episode and you have to miss work for a few days because you're dysfunctional.
Or you're driving through another state.
Right.
You know, because you just disappear for a few days.
Right.
You know, where do you put that in a person's life?
Right. So we're gonna talk about it in a little bit broader of a perspective, but it all, you know, for the most part, it's all pretty consistent. The ease at which you can do some of these things will vary depending on whether it's just you're overwhelmed because you have so many expectations from work versus a manic episode. You know, it's going to be easier with the first than it would be with the second. But a lot of the strategies and a lot of the things that you need to do are going to be almost exactly the same.
Right.
And it's a lot of self-care and a lot of self-reflection and looking at what's going on so that we can, you know, address what's happening, get back to life, and then work to prevent future episodes.
And I'm glad you mentioned these life things that we have to do.
Right.
Because even if you do have a psychiatric diagnosis, what do we always talk to people about? You have to change, it's nutrition. Do you have good nutrition? Are you sleeping well? Are you exercising? Are you managing your stress? You know, the big four. And that's the case here too,
right.
Is that how do you get back to normal? Because that's the challenge.
Right.
You know, when I think about how do you manage your mental struggles, I didn't want to say mental, how do you manage your mental, well, you manage it by getting back to normal,
right.
some semblance of normal,
right.
Okay? You don't just stay ill, but you use your resources to get back to normal.
Right.
And that's really much of what we want to talk about this week. How do you get back to normal?
Right. Yeah, and the back to normal is, again, part of that topic that you and I have been talking about for a long time. You know, I'm thinking about just today. We're recording this podcast on the 8th, so Sunday. Sunday morning, the morning before this will be going out. And we got here early this morning and have been working on different things. And I knew that my goal in coming in this morning was to prepare the podcast for prepare the podcast for the week. And I have a couple reports and stuff like that I need to work on. And I start working on some things, and my computer's working slowly because I'm doing this, trying to shift these things. I'm going to mention it, Richard.
I'm laughing. I'm sorry. I can't contain myself.
So I'm trying to manage a few things, and my computer's working slowly because of issues that we're having with Dropbox. And so and this is not a slam on Dropbox at all, but it's just having some syncing things. So I've been working over the last few days to revamp the whole thing.
Right.
And I was like, okay, you know what? Let me finish this thing with Dropbox real quick and get this all set up real quick. That's the important thing. Right. It's just a couple more things I needed to do.
What time is it?
3 hours
later?
Right. I think that I have Dropbox where I need it to be. And it's not because of any problem with Dropbox. It's because of just probably the order in which I was doing things and the fact that, you know, I have 15 other things that I wanted to be doing and I'm trying to do this. And so I'm only mentioning that, not for anybody to feel sorry for me, but if you choose to feel sorry for me, I do appreciate it.
I'm going to...
What?
Inhibition.
I'm
control recruiting yourself. My frontal lobes. Right?
Good job. But I'm mentioning it because how many times did I come in your office and say, my brain just can't focus. I'm scattered. I couldn't bring my mental facilities together to sequence at points a sentence. I could even hardly say what I was thinking.
And on the other side of the aisle, I came in early thinking that, okay, we'll get the podcast finished and then I can do all kinds of work this morning. But we were all stuck because of Dropbox.
Yeah. Right?
And so we are stressed.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're feeling some of that
stuff
that we're going to be talking about. But ours is short.
Right.
It's temporary.
It's situational.
And we'll get it finished and we'll move on.
Right.
But if it would go on for today and tomorrow and the next day, then you begin to get into some troubled waters.
Right.
Okay. And that's what we're going to talk about.
And what's going to happen is we're recording this one podcast today, and we're going to record a few more tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. But after we record this podcast and got it all set up and everything, I'm going to close all of my stuff down and go home and go for a run.
You need it.
Because that is what's going to
And that's what I do. I have about five things that I need to do at home today because I've been ignoring them with some travel I've been doing. And it's making me anxious, mm-hmm. thinking that I need to get home and get those finished before we start another week.
Right. Mm-hmm. So doing that, and again, this is what we're going to be talking about over the course of the week, doing something like that, I know for me it will be running. If I can get out and go run, then it's going to help relieve a lot of that stress.
I have a dear friend who calls them life things. There's life some things. Life things that I have to do.
Yes.
And I never knew what she meant by, she never would define what life things mm-hmm. are, but it's a nice concept. You know, we have to do some life things.
Yeah.
You know, and so you and I are in need of doing some life things today.
I think one of those life things may include ice cream. I'm just saying.
Non-dairy ice cream.
Non-dairy ice cream, of course. Yeah. There's this new one that says Bananas Foster's. It's so good. All right.
But anything it has else? No casein in it.
That's right. Yeah.
Another topic for another day.
For another day.
Right.
Anything else that you wanted to touch on this?
Are we finished? I'm not finished.
I know, that's why I asked.
I'm just getting started.
I know.
We have to talk about... Oh, you mean like these were introductory comments?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm good. I was going to make one about getting here early.
Yeah.
My daughter was traveling. She travels a lot now because of her mm-hmm. work. And I get up early, mm-hmm. early, like... Mm-hmm. I don't like to talk about this too much because it sounds like, oh, look, it's nothing special. It's just the 5 hours that I sleep every night. I get up at about 2:30. Mm-hmm. She was getting home at about 2:30 from a trip that she was taking. Mm-hmm. And when I saw her, we passed each other in the early morning hours. And I said, do you have to work today? She said, do you mean tomorrow? And I said, no, because she was thinking she's going to have a little sleep and then go to work the mm-hmm. next day. She said, you mean tomorrow? So that's you and I. You know, we meet people and say, you know, do you mean tomorrow? I said, no, like in a couple
of
hours.
It's so funny because that exact same conversation with my kids when I got up and was heading here yesterday morning on Saturday,
right.
and they were still playing Xbox.
From Friday.
Yeah.
Right? So to them, it's still Friday, right?
I go, what do you guys want to do today? They go, you mean tomorrow? I go, no. Like in a few hours. Well, we're going to go to sleep.
The same thing.
Exactly the same thing.
Oh, that's funny. So that's one. Yeah. You know, the time is Einstein was right. It's a sort of a flexible concept.
I like to think of it that way.
Right. So, because we get more done in the morning.
Right.
Phones aren't ringing. You get no interruptions. Mm-hmm. There isn't a lot of email coming in, except mm-hmm. from our friends in the UK who are started their work day when we're here. But we want to talk about this this idea of a nervous breakdown or mental mm-hmm. breakdown. When I was growing up, I would hear my parents talk about some relative who had a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. I never knew quite what they meant.
Right.
But I knew enough to know that the person disappeared for a time,
right.
a few days or a few weeks. I had classmates who would live in each other's homes because their mm-hmm. mothers, typically, the mother would disappear for some period of time. And it was always attributed to a nervous mm-hmm. breakdown.
Right.
Okay. So it's an old term.
It is an old term. And I think it is a very generic term because it was used back in the day mm-hmm. to indicate anything mental health related.
Yeah, they never specified.
Right. Yeah. So if a person had a psychotic episode
right.
And had to go to be hospitalized, mm-hmm. that was a nervous breakdown. If the person was severely depressed and had to be hospitalized.
Right. That was the case. Or somebody had an addiction problem.
We didn't
call it recovery.
Right.
She had a nervous break. It was always couched in she had a nervous breakdown or he had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, so it's a very generic term, mm-hmm. Sort of like insanity.
Yeah.
You know, it's a generic term that's used to indicate anytime a person that is typically normally functioning.
That's right.
And they become dysfunctional.
That's right. Psychologically, normal psychological functioning breaks down for some reason. Okay. And you're just not able to cope with what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that can happen for any number of reasons. It could happen because of work-related issues. It could happen because of relationship-related issues. Right. It could happen because of abuse. It could happen because of anything. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just... And I think one of the things that I try to help many of my patients with is that, you know, they come in very distressed because they're overwhelmed and they're and they're having these mental health symptoms. And, you know, sometimes when you sit there and listen to them and you hear their story and you hear what's happening with them and everything, and they think, oh, you know, I just don't understand. And, you know, I was ended up being diagnosed with this or ended up being diagnosed with that. And you listen to me, and I just want to say, you know, you should feel that way.
Right. That's right. I mean, given what you just told me.
When you're that overwhelmed, you're that stressed, when you have, you know, when you're taking care of five children, you're working full time and, you know, you're doing it all by yourself. You have no help at all.
Right.
And you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed and you're having difficulty sleeping. It makes sense to me.
Perfectly good sense. There's another important distinction we make, and I think you're touching on it there. We have what are called mainstream worries. 9/11, terrorist attacks, the Boston Marathon bombing, school shootings. Those are mainstream worries.
Right.
Okay, we sort of share those culturally, socially share those worries. Those aren't the
economy
the
and stuff like that.
Those aren't the kind of things that cause a nervous breakdown.
Right.
What cause a nervous breakdown are personal worries.
Right.
Things that touch us in a very personal way. Okay. And so that's why it's important to know the person,
right?
To take a very close look into the into your life, because typically a nervous breakdown is personal worries, family problems, losses, grief, changes in life, moves to different places.
Right. Yeah. Well, what happens is, because it is a cumulative effect.
That's right.
So if you're the type of person who's very stressed about, you know, those mainstream stressors, if you carry those with you, you probably function just fine. If you sit down and talk to somebody, you may complain about this, or you may complain about that, or you may express this worry or that worry. But what happens is you have that sort of underlying mainstream stress, and then something personal happens, and that tips you over the edge.
It's glacial,
right?
And when we say glaciers move because you have an accumulation of snow, and eventually the snow gets heavy enough that it begins to slide.
Okay,
and that's what this is. We refer to these kind of things as glacial in nature. That eventually it's going to slide because it just the weight of all of these things just becomes too heavy.
Yeah.
A straw that broke the camel's back, or the last straw, or whatever, however you want to phrase it. But they're personal. They're important to you personally. Might not be important to somebody else, but it's important to me. And most of us we all can handle a different amount of stress. Some people can handle enormous amounts of stress. Others can handle less stress. That has nothing to do with it. You have to know what your stress quotient is, and everybody's is a little bit different.
So in the article, they refer to things like the stress vulnerability model, where you look at how much stress you're experiencing and how vulnerable you are to that stress, and that relationship is going to help predict or, you know, allow us to figure out about the potential or the risk for a nervous breakdown.
Because in our world, we always talk about those four things. And the fourth one is managing stress. How well do you, so what does stress do? I mean, what's actually happening when you have a nervous breakdown, because this is going to lead to interventions. Okay, the first thing when you experiencing stress is you have sort of a loss of control. You feel a loss of control. It's reduced control over my circumstances. That's happened to me many, many times. When I don't feel that I'm in control of my, I start to feel it.
Okay.
So one of the things is you have reduced control. The second is you have reduced options. There isn't much you can do about it. We had some car things happen. And we're in the hands of the insurance company. I'm sorry, it's the way laws are written in most states. It's the way companies operate, the way insurance companies operate. Everybody who's ever had a little bit of an accident has gone through it. But you don't have many options. I can't I'm not in control of that process right now, okay? That creates stress, okay? And the last one is it causes fatigue. So you have this double whammy of you've lost control, you have reduced options of what you can do, and it wears you down. And that's when it starts to create problems. And at some point, at some point, you reach a breaking point.
Yeah.
That's the nervous breakdown.
Absolutely.
So if we know that that's what it's doing, then there's automatically, that's where we have to point right. to interventions.
Right.
If these are the things, if this is what stress does, then these are the things we're going to have to do to get back to normal.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, we're going to talk over the course of the week, we're going to talk about some different areas because one of the main goals after a nervous breakdown
right.
or after one of these episodes is to get life back to normal.
That's right. That's right. This isn't a permanent condition.
Right.
Okay. This is stress overwhelmed right. me. Okay. Stress won this round. Now I have to get back up and
right.
get back going because these are not permanent changes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're going to talk about, you know, getting your life back
right.
as it relates to those four mm-hmm. things of exercise, sleep, diet, and
right.
Stress management.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about how to get back to work, how to rebuild
right.
your relationships, how to, you know, deal with some of these things that are
right.
sometimes affected negatively
mm-hmm.
when we have a breakdown, when
That's
we
right.
have when we have some moments
mm-hmm.
of dysfunction. You know, how do we get all of that back to normal?
Right.
And then how do we recognize, we're going to kind of end the week
mm-hmm.
with, how do we recognize that this has happened and
mm-hmm.
prevent it from happening again?
That's right. It's yeah, getting back to normal, it's you don't just go back to work.
Right.
I mean, you're going to have people asking you why you were gone.
Right.
You have your children to explain things to. You have family members. You have coworkers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of work to do. And don't leave it to chance. There's
right.
there are good ways to re-enter,
mm-hmm.
okay, and that's what we want to talk about, is what are the most effective ways to re-enter,
mm-hmm.
to leave that episode behind, and
right.
to move on, to
yeah.
move on to normal.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be the rest of the week.
I look forward to this.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that then is it for today.
Yes.
Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.
Thanks for sharing this episode of the Mental Breakdown and PsychReg podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to follow us on Twitter and subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you'll find all of our previous podcasts and much more. We would be honored if you would become a patron through patreon.com, where any donation you can manage will go to the development and creation of more content. Just visit patreon.com/themental breakdown for more information. Thanks again for listening. Have an awesome day, and we look forward to being back in your feed tomorrow morning. Thank you.